My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Boom. Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, my name is Ian, and I'm a Gleek.
Hello, my name is Lena, and I'm a Gleek. Hi, Ian, how you doing?
I'm good, Lena. How are you?
I'm really good.
How has the pandemic been treating you?
You know, actually terrible. But
me too.
I'm going back to school in like 2 weeks, so that means I get to sit not alone in my childhood home, but alone in my college apartment. And honestly, that sounds way more palatable right now. How are you?
I'm going nowhere in 2 weeks, and I will be in my childhood home for a very long time.
I love that.
From what it looks like. Anyways,
hello
everyone. Yes, let's talk about Glee, everyone. Hi. So we came up with the idea for this podcast a year ago, back in 2019, because Lena and I, we are what you would call Gleeks. It was very important to us growing up. And we were talking on a bus one time about Glee and about how, like, making fun of it and, like, oh my gosh, like, how cheesy, and they did all these crazy things. But then also, like, we couldn't make fun of it without also getting really emotional about how much we love it. So we figured it was time that we do kind of a catharsis together. And we came up with the idea for a podcast where we would talk about how much we love Glee from an adult perspective, where we see just how bad it is as a TV show. Just from like a story perspective and a like how hard it tried to solve all the world's problems perspective. And so here we are. Welcome. Have a seat, take a listen.
Grab yourself a little snack. We're getting ready to talk about Glee.
And here's what you missed on Glee. Lena, how did you first come in contact with Glee? Take us back.
So Glee came out when I was in junior high, and then it ended 2015, my senior year of high school. So it literally carried me all through my adolescence. I remember when Glee ended, I was like, my childhood. So it meant a lot to me growing up. I first encountered Glee in junior high. I watched the show like maybe in the middle of season one, because I had friends who were talking about it. And I also had my teachers were talking about it. I'm a big theater person, so I was around a lot of people who were very excited about that. And I immediately watched the show and felt so seen immediately. My parents, instead of grounding me from hanging out with friends, because I didn't have those kind of friends, they would ground me from watching Glee, which is not a joke. And I genuinely would be like so distraught. And my parents would be like, Lena, if you don't do your math homework, you cannot watch this week's episode of Glee. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, you don't understand. It's all I live for. And that's how I felt about Glee growing up, especially in this like first season. Just like that intense fangirl joy I felt with watching Glee. Tell me about your journey with Glee, Ian.
All right. The year is 2009. The location is the track field of Desert Mountain High School in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was taking summer school PE because...
Oh, that is so a thing you would do.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't like sports. And so I didn't want to have to. I just graduated eighth grade, I just finished eighth grade. And I was going into high school and I didn't want to take gym in high school. So I did it over summer school with all the other kids who were unathletic so no one would make fun of us. And my friend on the track field was like, did you? It was when they like aired the pilot in like May, even though the show didn't start until September. And he was like, did you hear, watch that show, Glee? And I was like, no, what is that? And I asked him what it was about. And his description was literally, it's about kids in a show choir, but like they're good. And I was like, oh, my, riveting. Like,
whoa.
Like, what? So I had zero interest. But then, come September, they re-aired the pilot. I did not watch it, but I was now in high school, and the halls were a-buzzin'. Everyone was talking about it, so I tuned in for episode 2, Showmance. So actually, I never saw the pilot until I bought season 1 on DVD.
Really?
And I, in those first few episodes, I was hooked. I was a Gleek for life. I was a big fan of the show. My family hated it, and it really hurt my heart because I thought it was going to be like a fun thing we bonded over, and the rest of my family was like, this show is dumb. And I was like, you don't get it. It's very good. And now as an adult, I both see it from their perspective, but also still from my perspective.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, but it definitely was... had some really good stuff in it that you guys were not appreciating.
Yeah, my dad is so excited for us to do this podcast because he used to make fun of me relentlessly for watching Glee. Like, he would make fun of me so hard. And I have to tell you, I got the first season on DVD for my baptism gift. Can you believe I for those of you who
the
don't
Lord
understand
Jesus
what
Christ
I'm saying,
said, I want to be my disciple, I want you to rewatch Glee.
Straight up. Well, for those of you who don't know, I converted to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when I was like, I don't know, in eighth grade, 14. So this was after the first season of Glee had come out. And my dad, who is an LDS, he gave me as a gift to show his support. He gave me the first season of Glee on DVD. And I loved that. That was so sweet of him. But he's ready for me to shoot on this show.
No, I was talking to my mom about it. Also, yes, I do live with my parents. I am 25 years old. A pandemic will do that to you. I was talking to my mom about it earlier today, and she was like, so, like, what is the podcast going to be? Are you just going to, like, watch Glee and record yourselves? And I was like, heck no. Can you imagine if it was 45 minutes where you could just hear in the background the actors' voices, and then every once in a while we're like,
you're like, oh, Quinn is so funny.
And I'm like, wow, just kidding. Underrated characters. and I was like, no, it's kind of like a group therapy session where, like, we can talk about how problematic the show is, but with people who will still be respectful of the show.
Because exactly.
I'm like, if I talk to my family about it, then they're like, yeah, and you loved it because you were a moron. And so it's like someone else who I'm like, you were also there and you also get it. So, like, we have a mutual understanding that we can make fun of it because we loved it first.
Yeah, straight up. And all of the loathing we have, at least, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the loathing that I have for this show and these characters are, like, oftentimes comes from a really self-loathing place. So, yes, therapy for sure. Every time I hate Rachel, I'm like, ugh, Rachel's so gross because I'm Rachel.
In my notes, because I took notes while I watched the pilot, everyone, in my notes it says... Am I Rachel Berry?
Okay. Rachel Berry is such a relatable character in this first episode. I just get it. Like, she's a girl who wants for more and is socially awkward and is bullied and, like, freaking puts videos of herself singing on MySpace. Come on. This is the most relatable.
This is actually an excellent time to be starting this podcast because... on the TikTok, Glee has been enjoying sort of a renaissance of fandom.
Certainly.
I would like to point out, though, that we came up with this idea a year ago, so we are not jumping on all the TikTok teens. We were there first. I am the same age as Artie Abrams and Tina Cohen-Chang and Kurt Hummel. I went to high school. We were freshmen together. We graduated together, so all of you can step off. But very glad that you also loved Glee growing up.
Very glad you loved Glee when you were eight.
Yeah, very glad that you imagined what high school was like while I was experiencing it with the characters, and it was very different than what they were going through.
Straight up. We'll talk about this more, like, especially in, like, episode two and the rest of the episodes, but my high school was not like this at all.
Also, I was in choir in high school, and I did do... My high school did not have show choir, but I
did... We didn't either.
I did all-state show choir, which Whoa. Is where everyone in Arizona auditions, and only the top 20 get chosen, and I was in the top 20, so no big deal, but I lived Glee.
Oh, my God. Why is that?
Anyways.
Not surprising. I didn't do show choir in high school. I did theater, and I didn't do choir because I thought it was beneath me, a Rachel Berry thing to do. Can you believe? True. I hated myself in high school.
So before we get into the pilot episode, I have some Glee facts, some Glee acts.
First, I would love to hear them.
The term Glee, I understand it's a play on geek. It is heinous sounding. And do you remember the ads they used to have where it would be Rachel Berry and she'd be talking to the camera and she'd be like, I'm a Gleek. And then I'd go to Quentin Fabre and she'd go, no, you're a geek. And then I'd be Finn and he'd be like, I'm a Gleek. And then Puck would go, no, you're a geek. I think of those. They haunt my dreams.
Wow, so Glee, Fox was insane.
So Glee was conceived in 2005 by Ian Brennan. He based it on his experience of being in the show choir at Prospect High School in Mount Prospect, Illinois, and he wanted it to be a movie. So he wrote a movie script for Glee back in 2005, and then no one was interested in it. He had a friend who was a television producer who went to the same gym as one Ryan Murphy.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, we're going to be talking about him a whole lot in future episodes.
A lot.
And so Ian Brennan's friend gave Ryan Murphy the script, and Ryan Murphy read it and was like, this would be better if it was, well, actually his friend Brad Folchuk, who also became one of the showrunners, was like, this should be a TV show. So then Ryan Murphy, Brad Folchuk, and Ian Brennan, the Holy Trinity, all met together, and they were like, let's rewrite this whole script and make it a TV show. They wrote the pilot. They submitted it to Fox. Within 15 hours, Fox was like, and you're greenlit, get it together. And the rest is history. Murphy, Falchuk, and Brennan, stayed on as showrunners for the entire show. And then they did the casting process. I'm going to give you a little backstory on some of these kids, where they came from. Most of them is just like, Corey Monteith was an actor, and then he got hired. But Kurt Hummel was played by Chris Colfer. Chris Colfer was fresh out of high school. He was like 18 years old. He auditioned for Artie. He was not right for Artie, but Ryan Murphy really liked him. So he cut a character named Rajesh from the pilot, who is an Indian kid who was supposed to eventually become Mercedes' boyfriend. And he
this
wrote
This is new to
right,
me!
Right, I am a detective. I went on something called Glee Wiki.
Whoa!
And I looked at their trivia section, everyone! So he wrote the character of Kurt Hummel for Chris Colfer. If I remember properly, the character's last name is Hummel, because there is a company called Hummel Figurines, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he looks like a cherub, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a Hummel figurine. Tina Cohen-Chang, played by Jenna Ushkowitz. She was on Broadway when she was 13 in The King and I. And then she was later an understudy for Spring Awakening in Broadway. And meanwhile, the lead of Spring Awakening on Broadway was the one and only Lea Michele, who has come under a lot of fire recently. We're going to stay out of that.
Yeah, this is
I don't
gossip
know what
podcast.
She's like as a person. I will not speak for what she's like as a person. But she was on Broadway as a child in Ragtime, and then she was Vendla in Spring Awakening. And here's my favorite one. Kevin McHale, who played Artie Abrams, was in a boy band called NLT, which stood for Not Like Them.
Ew, I love that.
It was like the whole boy band was like, oh, it was like kind of a little like hip-hoppy R&B ish, but barely. And they would all dress in like all dark, and all the songs are just like, we're not like other guys, like we're sensitive.
Oh, that makes me throw up. I love
it. It is. I listened to some of their songs today. I guess the songs are fine. I don't know. But the music videos leave something to be desired. and when they were all signed, their contracts included 3 theatrical films. So we were robbed of a Glee movie trilogy that never came to pass.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
All right, so here's episode 1 of Glee.
The pilot.
The pilot, which aired on May, I don't have this in front of me, let's see if I can remember, May 19th probably? I read this earlier today. I was right. May 19th, 2009, just over 11 years ago.
Glee's a Taurus. Interesting.
So we're essentially just going to talk about the episode and talk about the story and just, you know, the idea was that we would kind of be like, this thing was so ridiculous, but I'll be straight up. The pilot episode rocks. My issue with Glee is that it started strong and then it did not deliver on the promises it made. But the first few episodes, there's not a lot to make fun of because they're just freaking solid.
Yeah, when you say that Fox greenlit this after hours, I'm not surprised. This pilot is strong.
I read something the other day that it was like, Ryan Murphy is an expert at starting shows. He is terrible at continuing them.
Yeah.
And amen to that, because same thing with Scream Queens. It starts out so well, and then he was like, ugh, I've lost interest in this. And it just falls apart.
I have so many bones to pick with Ryan Murphy, and none of them have to do with this first episode.
None of them have to do with the pilot episode.
No, they don't. Honestly, this is a win.
I just have compliments. We start the pilot episode with the lovely Shining Star by Earth, Wind & Fire. Opening sequence, immaculate. It sets up the world, sets up all the characters. It's like, first out of the Cheerios, just so you know, the cheerleaders are in power. It gives you the waterboarding line from Sue Sylvester. You know who that character is?
Yeah, Sue Sylvester. Honestly, my queen. My queen. I love her dearly. And especially in this first episode, I love how she's just not even a person. She's a caricature of just like a villain who like has been waterboarded. What?
I also love that they clearly gave Jane Lynch a bunch of alts. Or, like, allowed her to improvise, and then loved them so much that they just stuck them in later in the episode. Because later in the episode, there's another shot of her going, you think this is hard? I'm living with hepatitis. That's hard. And it is
and that's just like a cutscene. Nothing's happening.
Yeah, it was just clearly the editors were like, I don't know if waterboarding or hepatitis is funnier. Stick them both in.
Why not both?
And then you go to the shot of Mr. Schuster walking out of his car, and I have spoken about this many times. I think an opening number musical theater, if done perfectly well, and the best example of this is In the Heights, is that it introduces every single character very simply, and you know, based on their appearance, what their personality is, where they fit in the world.
Yep.
And so Mr. Shoe drives up, his muffler's hanging down. Is that what that's called? I don't know cars.
I don't know cars, but we immediately see he struggles with money. He's a weird guy.
Yeah, and then you see him walk by Kurt being thrown in the trash. You know that Kurt is bullied. You see that Puck and Finn are the ones bullying him, but Finn feels bad, so he saves his jacket. So you see that, like, Finn has a good heart.
Yeah, and Kurt, like, wigs out because he's like, this is Mark Jacobs. You can't throw me in the dumpster. And then Finn, being a good guy, takes his jacket from him. Wow. A hero.
Ryan Murphy, we're going to trash you a lot in the future. So credit where credit is due now. Good writing. Also, straight up, Mr. Schuster says to Finn, hey, Finn, did you write that essay on... And his Spanish is so bad that I thought he was naming a historical figure. Fake Spanish teacher! He doesn't speak Spanish!
Wow. And that... So early on, too. They're really calling him out for being a shitty teacher.
I think it was just because Matthew Morrison didn't speak Spanish. Yeah. I don't think that was a character moment at all. Did you know there is a director's cut of this episode that starts out with teenage William Schuster at Nationals?
No way. No way, I didn't know that at all.
So they aired the original version in May, and then they aired the director's cut, like, right before the Showmance premiered. And I got the season one DVD, and I watched the version on the DVD, which is the normal version that's on Netflix. And then I found out online that there was a director's cut, and this was, like, peak Glee phase. I was obsessed. I wanted to watch it so
bad. You're, like, foaming at
the mouth. Because I saw production photos, and the production photos were, like, kids in 70s costumes. And I was like, the heck, this isn't in the show. So I did research. It wasn't on the DVD. I couldn't find it anywhere online. I was so upset. I found the deleted scenes on YouTube, like, last week. So they're
out
there. You
didn't send them to me? You're a big turd.
For any deprived Gleeks, I'm so sorry. I wanted to gotcha journalism you with it. But it starts out and you actually see Lillian Adler, whose like face is on the plaque the whole show. She's got a few lines. There's teenage Will Schuster. It's 1993, but they're dressed like it's the 70s because they're singing Shake Your Groove Thing. Fun fact, Allstate Show Choir in Arizona also sang to Shake Your Groove Thing.
You are basically Will Schuster.
I didn't do it that year. Anyways. So we have that whole sequence with Mr. Schuster.
And we see Finn in his class. We see Finn in Mr. Schuster's class. You can see that Finn is, like, really struggling in class. And you can see that he's, like, struggling with, like, his crew, with the football team. Like, this first, like, sequence is really, I think, framed around Finn being, like, kind of out of place, right?
He's living someone else's dream, and maybe it's not his dream. I have to say, I used to say to my mom all the time, my mom used to trash Glee so much, and she would always say, I mean, it's just so obvious that they had the jock who, like, wanted to be in the arts, and then they have the, like, sassy black girl, and then they have, like, the sassy gay kid and the diva girl, and I would always be like, that's the point, Mom! It's a satire! And I feel like Glee betrayed me on that, because that was the point. But then as the show went on, it forgot it was a satire, and it started taking all those tropes seriously.
Yep.
But at the beginning, it very much is, like, framed as a comedy, and as, like, we are poking fun, like, it does genuinely have heart, but, like, we are poking fun at, like, high school movies and high school shows. So then we move on to the original Glee Club. Sandy Ryerson does something unspecified to the student Hank, which
That was surprising.
Has
I think
always
I noticed
tiptoed
that
the line with me between is this funny, is it not funny? But moving on, it's a very short scene, so we'll let it go.
I know, I was like, and then cut to an unnamed Rachel Berry in the hallway, looking like a psychopath, and
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Season one, Rachel Berry is the best character in the whole show.
Straight.
People trash on her character all the time because as the show went on, they forgot that, like, Rachel Berry is psychotic balanced by extreme vulnerability.
Yeah.
And then as the show went on, they, like, lost that balance. But in the
no
first
spoilers,
season...
No spoilers, though. She is amazing.
She is my favorite character. I love her so much. Anyways, we
she
go to the teacher's
lounge.
She has
some doozy lines this episode as well that I love.
She does, and I wrote a bunch of them down.
Too.
We go to the teacher's lounge. I wrote down in my notes, Emma's ahead of her time. She's wearing gloves. She's sanitizing the table before she eats. That if everyone was like Emma Pillsbury, there would be no pandemic.
Yeah. Well, Sue walks in and apologizes to the rest of the staff and brings lattes. Figgins has to cut the coffee, coffee budget in order to pay for the Cheerios dietitian. And then she says that they have to be in peak performance for Fox Sports. And then Emma says, since when are cheerleaders performers? Emma!
I know, that was weird to me because we're clearly supposed to side with her, but they perform.
I know, but, like, I think that's a good, like, just a good example of how pitted against each other the Cheerios and, like, the arts kids are in this show that literally, if you're on one side, you are not on the other. I was so disappointed in Emma for that. Emma, if you're not watching the show along with listening to our podcast, what are you doing?
I thought you were about to ask, you were about to be like, Emma, if you are listening, and I was going to be she's not real. Second of all, no way in hell is Jamma Mays listening to this podcast.
I wish she would. Oh my God,
Jamma Mays,
if
you're a fan of the podcast, please let us know.
Yes, shoot us an email. No, I was going
to
say.
We would love to have you on.
No, I was going to say, if you're not watching along with us, Emma Pillsbury is, what is she?
Guidance counselor.
So
we have that little teacher sound sheen. This is who everyone is. These are the teachers. These are relationships. Will finds out that the Glee clip got caught. Cut. I can't talk. He goes to Principal Figgins.
He says to Figgins, I want to make Glee Club great again.
No, foreshadowing yes. in the worst way.
I know. I hate William Will Schuster.
Is Donald Trump.
Oh my God, he is. You heard it.
That's like, that. This is completely different. But that was like an Arrested Development, if anyone watches that show. They did a plot line about how a character was running for office and their platform was that they were going to build a wall separating Mexico from the U.S. And then 2 years later, 3 years later, Donald Trump ran for president with that same platform.
Do you think he's just a really big fan of Arrested Development?
Trump is a huge Gleek and he loves Arrested Development. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah. So Figgins says to Shu, he says, yeah, you can start up the New Directions again. You only get $60 a month raise for teaching Glee Club as well. And that just will not fly.
Oh, he doesn't say you get a $60 raise. He says that Will has to pay $60 to coach Glee
Club. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cut that.
No, we're keeping it. I want to show everyone that you don't know how to pay attention to television.
I'm literally such a dingbat. Anyway, but he gets the amazing idea to call the Glee Club the New Directions. Aww. Hear me out.
New Directions is nude erections. You cannot tell me differently.
Ew. I don't think I've
ever thought of that. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
You're nasty.
And knowing Ryan Murphy's humor, it's probably intentional.
Probably.
But it's nude erections, except for when Lea Michele says it, and she says, the new directions.
God bless her.
Have you ever noticed that? Every time Rachel says new directions, she goes, directions.
Did you ever, I had a bunch of friends in junior high who loved One Direction, and I had friends who loved One Direction to the point of they would say One Direction in a British accent.
As One Direction?
One Direction. Can you believe that? Rachel, if you're listening, not Rachel Berry, Rachel Hansen, if you're listening to this podcast,
or Lea Michele.
Why do you keep calling her Lea Michele?
Is it Lea?
Yes.
I don't know. We're not friends. Lea or Lea
She's
Michele.
She's no one's friend.
If you're a friend of this podcast, we would love to have you on. I know you're really going through it with all the controversy right now, but
straight up, I know that we're not a gossip podcast, but you're going through it, buddy.
We will end it there.
Yeah, I don't. No comment on that. I've got no opinion. I was not on set for that, so I get no opinion. Cut to the New Directions.
The New Directions are having their auditions. Hear me out. Did you notice that Tina signs her name on the audition sheet with a stutter?
Yes.
She puts TTT Tina, which is maybe like her being self-aware. And she's like, oh, because I have a stutter. But also like...
No, but her hands were like shaking.
Like when you stutter, you don't write the letters multiple times. That's not how that works.
I don't think so. She also says that she's Tina C. She does not have a last name yet. First person we have coming into Glee Club auditions is Mercedes Jones singing Respect. I love Mercedes so much. She gets some good lines in this pilot, but she's definitely not in it enough. And I'm going to say that for the rest of this damn television show. She needs to be in it more.
Next up you get, I was literally going to say Chris Colfer. I mean, it's true. Kurt is next, right?
Yeah, Kurt Hummel. He's singing Mr. Cellophane. And he does this beautiful hair flip at the end while he's singing his last note. Iconic. Iconic.
Even know.
That vowel placement. Iconic.
Then you get Tina C. She does the little Mean Girls like smack your pelvis that they do in Jingle Bell Rock.
She's singing I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry, which what a choice. So Tina sings her song and then we cut to Rachel Berry singing On My Own from the seminal Broadway classic Les Miserables,
the song that has launched a million high school girls into theater competitions.
Straight up singing it just like Lea Michele does, singing it in the exact way she does.
If you are a high school theater girl, maybe don't sing this song for a theater competition. It's a brilliant song, but just so you know, everyone else will also be singing it.
Yeah.
Please pick a different piece.
I did not.
Oh, proud of you.
Thanks.
This opening monologue of Rachel's, incredible, introduces her character so well.
She signs up for Glee Club. She signs up for auditions, and she puts a gold star next
because
to her name.
Because she is going to become a star.
I bought gold stars immediately after seeing this episode. No. I am not kidding. They are still in my home. They are still in my home. And I was like, I'm going to do that. I never did because I was too embarrassed and I knew I would get bullied, which is a good segue into this opening monologue of hers. She talks about how like bullied she is. And she has this line where she says, oh my goodness, you might think that all the boys in school would totally want to tap this, but my MySpace schedule keeps me way too busy to date.
Okay.
My but can queen. I
say, it's 2009. No one's on MySpace.
But that's the funny part. That's the funny part. This girl is not cool.
I don't think it is because all the cheerleaders are clearly on MySpace because
to
they
bully
comment.
Her.
I think the writers truly thought MySpace was still a thing.
Really? I think it's funny. You don't think it adds to her character that she's like so busy putting videos of herself on MySpace?
The original script said YouTube. And they couldn't get the rights, so
oh,
they changed it.
Okay.
They
that,
just truly
that changes it.
Ryan Murphy is not in touch with today's youth. He thought MySpace was still popular. It wasn't.
Wow.
I did write, here's my notes. My notes for Rachel's monologue are Dollar Store Jeff Goldblum and Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Oh my God.
It shows the picture of two dads who are later played by Jeff Goldblum and Brian Stokes Mitchell. It's just two weird looking dudes in this one.
Yeah, and they're an interracial couple. There's a black man and a very
I
clear
have found that joke funny. Ever since
every
I first
time
watched that,
I wish
where
they
she's like
kept
I
up.
Love that we don't know which one's my biological father and one is like straight up a black man.
I
so
know
funny.
I love that joke so much. I wish they would have kept that up because I think that is like, first of all, adds to like a really sweet quality in Rachel that like she genuinely loves her dads and she's like, I'm really happy that I don't know, and she's just so simple and cute. I just love her, Rachel.
My other notes for this monologue are, why MySpace? It's 2009. Wow, I love Rachel so much. Wow, on my own made me emotional.
She's so good. I'm gonna have shit to say about Rachel until this show ends, but right, I love her. I have such a soft spot in my heart for her.
In future seasons, her character takes a turn for me and I don't like her as much, but season one Rachel has my heart until the day I die.
And I'll call her out all the time because straight up, my whole personality in high school and in junior high is based on this woman. So, I mean, we got a lot to unpack here.
We also have the first slushying.
The
Glee.
Slushying. Wow.
What high school has a slushing machine? Mine didn't.
Should we slushy each other?
I don't know if anyone did. Right over webcam.
I mean, like, as soon as we see each other next, let's slushy each other. Put it on TikTok. Maybe we'll go viral.
We will. And then we cut to Sit Down, You Rock in the Boat rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very funny.
They're all wearing
Tina
the white
gloves.
Tina
tries to jump into Kurt's arms and he drops her.
Yeah.
Underrated moment. That's very funny.
I know.
Rachel at like top 10 energy, 100% facials, to the point that it is annoying, is me when I perform.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if you've ever noticed.
Oh, no.
But
if you don't know who me and Ian are, we have a long spanning relationship of performing together, so I know all about that.
I used to. Okay, so I mostly do musical theater. If you knew me, it'd be obvious why. I was cast in my first ever Shakespeare back in January. I was doing it, and the director consistently had to be like, less, because I was just so trained, because I also only do like upbeat high energy musical theater. Like, I never do freaking like Les Miserables. I do Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So
I don't know, even know who you would be in Les Mis.
I would be
you'd be Entourage.
Cosette, young Cosette.
Yeah.
So the director consistently would have to be like, Ian less energy. Ian, react less to that, because I was like a freaking cartoon character. Because I was Rachel Berry and Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Rachel makes a comment that they shouldn't have Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat fronted by Artie, a boy, in a wheelchair.
And then, this is my favorite line of the whole episode.
There it is.
Artie says, I think Mr. Shu was trying to be ironic. And Rachel says, there is nothing ironic about show choir,
and
storms out.
She storms.
That is the funniest line in the entire episode. Wow. It made me laugh. It actually, there's a line later on that made me laugh more. So I will say that it was the best line of the episode more than once. Now comes my favorite Rachel scene in the entire pilot. It is when she is crying on the bleachers. It's after everything up to this point has been Rachel being so overbearing and so rude and such a diva. And then this is the moment when you see her as just like this poor girl that everyone picks on, who like all she has going for her is that she's talented. And so she has to prove that she's the most talented person because there's like nothing else about her that she likes. Ugh. I love Rachel so much.
She is really, really emotionally stunted. Like it is so sad. That whole scene is really upsetting because like, and you can tell she just like doesn't have the tools to like deal with these emotions, because in the wake of her being like seriously, seriously bullied, she's just like, I need a male lead, Mr. Shu. And I'm like, you poor thing. You need a hug. Like, come on, yeah, girlfriend.
Also, what a freaking diva move.
I know.
Like, her coach is comforting her and she's like, anyways, all the guys in this glee club suck and I need a good one.
Yeah. And he's like, Artie could do it. And she's like, no.
I do understand that Mr. Shu is trying to comfort her, but he does say, you're the best kid in there, Rachel.
I didn't like that at all.
I wrote, excuse me, were you at Mercedes' audition?
Yeah, he's such a turd. I think Rachel is very talented. And I'm not going to like beat around that bush, but there is no goddamn way that he can say that to her face while having heard Mercedes sing.
That is called
cannot deal.
Being a bad teacher.
He is a terrible teacher.
Showing that much favoritism. Shame on you, Mr. Shu. Shame.
And the way he just says that to her in order to get her to not quit, I do not love. I think he is a terrible, terrible, terrible teacher.
However, I did write down when Rachel said, I know I'm just a sophomore, but I can feel the clock ticking away. That's when I wrote, is
relatable.
Rachel Berry me? I literally was talking... I was talking to my mother yesterday where she was like, everyone who's not aware, this pandemic was very hard on actors because theater doesn't exist, so we all lost our jobs.
I work in a clothing store like a nerd.
I deliver food now. That's what my life has come to. Anyways, I was talking to my mother. She was like being a good parent and being comforting about like things are going to work out and like you'll be in shows again and like you'll work professionally again. And I straight up said to her, by the time this is over and I have a job again, I'm going to be 26. And there are people who are 19 who are on Broadway already.
Ew, you're nasty, but I totally get it. That conversation especially, like, I don't want to leave high school and not have it have meant something. And I feel like in school especially, like, we're so pressured to, like, do something big and, like, win nationals. Like, I totally got where she was coming from with that. So I get that too.
You guys... spoiler alert, high school sucks, even if you have a good time. Because I had a pretty good time in high school.
I had a terrible time.
It still sucks. The things, like the biggest accomplishments I had in high school that at the time I was like, this is like what I have to show for it, I frequently forget even happened. Yeah. Like when I think back at high school, I forget those things happened. And then I have to remind myself like, oh yeah, and that was what I thought my big takeaway was going to be.
Yeah. And, like, college, too. I feel that way about college constantly.
You guys,
like,
spoiler alert, school period sucks. Honestly,
all my friends are like, I'm thinking about grad school. And I'm like, y'all want to be in school longer?
My mom said to me, she was like, well, since, like, you don't have a job right now performing, would you want to go to grad school? And I said, literally the only thing that could make me more depressed is if I went back to school.
I hate school so much, which is why... I especially love Finn in this episode because a little like tidbit about me is school sucks for me. So I like seeing a character who is like a lead character, like talk so openly about how school is a struggle for him and like how he can't keep his extracurricular activities happening. He has a whole line about how he just wants to like make his mom proud of him and he's nervous about like failing another class. I was like, hells yeah. I love that, Finn. Goodness, school sucks. I hate it. I'm never going back. I say as I'm like 2 weeks out from moving back.
Please do go back because
don't go
you
to
have
school.
Almost graduated.
I know. I literally
stay
am
in
so
school,
close.
Kids. It's worth it. It just sucks.
It just sucks.
All right. So next we go to Sheets and Things where Terry Schuster. Let me tell you, Terry Schuster wasted character.
I know. I love Terry.
Jesselyn Gilsig.
She's
freaking
so
hysterical.
Funny.
She's
oh my
so
God.
Good. Like Sue is so obviously awful. Mm-hmm. Like, she's, like, performatively a bad person. But Terry, it is just, like, throwaway lines that if you aren't paying attention, you miss. Like, when she talks to Will and he says that he's not going to be home that night.
And then she says,
I'm on my feet 4 hours a day, 3 times a week.
And now I have to go home and cook my own dinner? Will?
Seriously, it's like she only works 12 hours a week. And literally, she's like, oh, it's so hard.
I love Terry. I think she is so funny. So while we're at Sheets and Things, we run into the old
Sandy Ryerson,
Glee Club teacher,
Sandy. Before they were the Nude Erections.
Before they were the Nude Erections. This what were they called?
I don't know. The Sandys. Probably. Sandy's boys. Also, fun fact, in the director's cut, you see a clip of the show choir under Sandy's direction, and Mercedes Jones is in it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I obviously didn't know anything about that.
So she's been in Glee Club for a while.
Good for her. Oh, that makes me mad.
What a missed storyline. The line that made me laugh the hardest in this entire episode is when Sandy is yelling at the worker. Says something to him like, what do you have to say about that Mr. checks his name tag, Sheets and Things?
While we're at Sheets and Things meeting Sandy, we learn that Sandy is a drug dealer now and is like super into it and gives Will a little sample, which will come back into play later in the episode. Oh, he calls the show choir kids tone deaf acne factories, which I loved that so much.
So next up, Will goes to the locker room because he asked some of the football guys to audition, and mm-hmm. none of them did. And he hears Finn singing in the shower.
Hear me out.
You can hear a kid singing in the shower without staring at them. Singing in the shower.
He watches him for too goddamn long.
Right? The locker room has different, like, alleyways in it that you could be in and not watch this underage student in the shower.
Yeah. It is terrible.
Strike one against William Schuster. There will be many more to come.
There will be many. But we hear Finn doing a really great job singing in the shower. He's singing, I can't stop this feeling anymore.
And it is feeling. Excuse
what?
You?
What did I say?
You said fight this stop feeling. This. Ah!
Well, I got it mixed up with another iconic song. In
with
this.
Don't Fight Believing.
Don't. I'll kill you. Anyway, so then Shu gets this idea to get Finn into New Directions. And he blackmails this child with the weed that Sandy gave him at Sheets and Things. And he says to Finn, he's like, I'm really disappointed in you. They're going to take away your football scholarship. And then Finn goes, I had a football scholarship? Ew.
My gosh. I love that line so much. I had a football scholarship to where?
To where? This show is so funny.
I also love when Will shows him the marijuana packet because it's labeled Chronic Lady. And he says, I found this in your locker. And Finn goes, it's not mine. I don't even know who the Chronic Lady is.
This show is so funny. I don't think people think Glee and think it's such a comedy.
It works best as a comedy. It works best when it's 80% comedy, 20% drama.
Yeah,
And then that equilibrium just shifted more and more as it went on. Yeah,
I honestly watched this pilot and I'm disappointed at how unfunny the rest of the show is.
And I am like, how dare you give me something this incredible?
It is so
And then
so
later
good.
On, serve me up just like platefuls of human garbage. I know. Now we get to Finn's voiceover where he talks about his past and he talks about his relationship with his mom. Very funny that they hired a man to paint their grass green.
I love
that.
That
is so funny. I also love how much everyone wears denim.
Yes.
I was noting that everyone wears denim in this episode.
I loved that scene because it looked like it was in the 80s when, like, Finn was not born in the 80s.
Well, it's because it's Lima, Ohio.
Oh, you're right.
It's just like a small town that like is stuck in the past.
My favorite line from Finn's voiceover is he's like, I'm just like every other kid. I deal with regular stuff like peer pressure and back knee.
I still have a scar on my back because my back knee was so bad in high school. So I felt that one.
You were like, well, retweet.
Seriously, like I was dealing with back knee myself.
I never had back knee. I just had terrible face acne.
I had both. Whoa. Went on my face, curved around my neck, went to my back.
Were you ever on Accutane? I was on Accutane.
Yeah, I was on Accutane.
Right? Remember how it's like just like acceptable to like poison your children if they're ugly? Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
like Accutane is insane.
But hear me out. But hear me out.
Hearing you.
My acne was so bad, it was giving me scars. It wasn't just like, oh, he's got some zits. Like, it was doing lasting damage to my skin. So, yeah, like, I got no regrets about going on Accutane.
Sure. I don't think my acne was bad enough to be on Accutane. This has nothing to do with Glee. This is just, you know, about the drugs we've taken. Anyway.
But Accutane, if you do listen to the podcast, we would love to have you on. Just send us an email.
Sponsored by Accutane. Anyway, so in this voiceover, we learn that Finn's dad passed away when he was really young and that he's really close with his mom, and all that he wants is to make his mom proud. Sweetheart.
So, Will gives Finn an ultimatum. Mm-hmm. He has to do detention, 6 weeks of detention, or he has to join the Glee Club. And Finn joins the Glee Club. Mm-hmm. And their first number is wow. You're the One That I Want from Grease.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rachel is Sandy. Obviously, Finn is Danny. And Mercedes interrupts them and is like, hell to the no, a catchphrase that we will learn to love. And she's like, I don't want to sing backup anymore. I'm Beyonce, not Kelly Rowland. And I said, wow, I love Mercedes. She is so funny. Put her in this show more.
Fun fact, once upon a time, I was working at Disney's Animal Kingdom on Kilimanjaro Safaris as a safari guide.
Wow, this is just a podcast for you to, like,
I want everyone to know my life story. I speak Spanish. I worked at Disney World, everyone.
I was on Accutane.
I live a glamorous life. I took Accutane. Anyways, my coworker was a friend of the podcast, Rachel, legitimate friend of the podcast, because she responded to my tweet about this podcast today. And one of the facts that we would tell about elephants was that the elephants were led by a matriarch and she was in charge of the herd. And she would always say, just think of the elephants as Destiny's Child and the matriarch is Beyonce.
Wow, that's so funny. Next scene. Oh, no. Kurt says while they're in there, because Mercedes is upset that Rachel is singing lead and that she's singing backup. And then Kurt goes, you know, this is like the best we've sounded. I think this is what we're supposed to sound like. So that's setting us up for a long time of Finn and Rachel duets.
So could the Glee Club go on to be successful? I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out. Oh, my God. So I guess next that's what we're doing here.
We get a little scene in the Schuster's home. Schuster.
We learn that Terry is addicted to Pottery Barn. And I said, me too, Terry.
This was the scene that I was like, wow, Jesslyn Gilsig is so funny.
She is so funny.
She is great. Everyone, unless you're underage, drink every time that I say Jesslyn Gilsig is so funny.
We learn that Terry and Will are high school sweethearts, and Terry is really upset with Will because she's nervous that Will is specifically doing this stuff with the nude erections to relive his glory days. And
Which,
then she says,
low blow.
I know.
But also probably true.
Probably true. It really called him out. And then she's like, we're adults now and I want to have a kid. Oh my gosh. What does she say? She's like, my diabetes can't come back. I'm trying to have a baby.
It's because he's wearing sugary cologne. That's why.
Terry, I love her.
This is so funny. Just what happened down the line. What? Will wants Terry to come and watch Vocal Adrenaline perform at Carmel High. And she says, no, I don't want you to have this job. So then he asks the teachers if they want to help, and Emma's like, I want to have your babies, so like, I'm there.
That Ken, the football coach? I don't know sports.
The football director? The one who runs football rehearsals.
Straight up, you should have seen me writing my notes. I was like, Finn has to skip practice on Saturday. You should have seen me. Anyway, I don't know sports at all. But we learned that Ken, the football coach, really likes Emma. And Emma really likes Will. And Will is married to Terry, who is sucky but amazing. So we've got a little love square going on.
A love line.
A love line.
Because it's just, it never connects back. It just goes in one direction.
Oh, it certainly doesn't. It certainly does not. Terry doesn't love anyone other than Will. Anyway, Emma signs up to go to see Vocal Adrenaline with Will. And Ken gets really upset with Emma. And Emma, we've learned a little bit throughout the episode, has like some like compulsive tendencies to like clean things. And Ken gets so...
She knew what was going to happen in 2020, everyone.
She did. She
tried to warn us.
But Ken invites her to go see Monster Trucks with him on Saturday. And she says no because she likes somebody else. And then he does the nasty.
But she says, you know how every time you ask me out, I say I'm on my period? And he says, which doesn't bother me.
This show is so goddamn funny.
Or that I'm allergic to nighttime is the other excuse that she uses.
But then Ken being so gross when she turns him down because she's like, I'm trying to date somebody else, somebody who's unavailable, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. He licks his hand a lot and then rubs it all over her door handle and she freaks out. That was so mean.
Ken Tanaka. What's wrong with you? So they go to Carmel High.
And Rachel and Finn are standing together in line. And Rachel says to Finn, you're very talented. I would know because I'm very talented too. I think the rest of the team expects us to become an item.
And then Finn reveals that he already has a girlfriend. It is cheerleader Quinn Fabre. Fun fact, Diana Agron was hired the day before they shot this scene.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, they hired her the day before they started shooting. And this scene where she makes out with Corey Monteith was the first scene she shot.
So I love that scene. She got the job.
And then like 24 hours later, they're like, okay, now you have to make out with this guy on camera.
That scene is so funny to me. So Quinn and Finn are making out on the couch. And then Finn runs his hand down and grabs her butt. She immediately stops him. And she goes, stop. Let's pray. Wow. We don't know a lot about Quinn Fabre from this episode, but God, I love her.
I was shocked. She has maybe two lines. She has this line, and then she has the line where she asks Finn why he's talking to Rachel, and that's
it. And then she calls Rachel RuPaul.
Yes, she does.
Which is a reference I don't think I understood as a child.
Oh, no. As a 14-year-old, I have no idea who that was.
No.
And Santana is just there.
Yeah, Santana's just standing there. We don't even know who Santana is yet. Anyway,
I was reading an interview with Naya Rivera because I was grieving the fact that she tragically died recently. And she was talking about how Santana like wasn't a character and was just like there to be essentially Quinn's backup. But she really wanted Santana to be a character, so she would just, like, roll her neck all the time or, like, have really big expressions to everything until they eventually started giving her more lines.
What an incredible woman. What an incredible woman. I can't wait until Santana's in this show more so we can talk about it more. But, wow.
Anyways, they go watch Vocal Adrenaline. Adrenaline
are the bee's knees. They're so good.
They perform Rehab by Amy Winehouse. I always think about the fact... You know the girl who, like, does the runs in this song? That, like, the camera will zoom in on her and she'll do the, like, I don't want to impersonate them because I'm going to sound bad. But she will have, like, little solo moments. She is clearly set up in the beginning of season one to be, like, the Vocal Adrenaline character. Yep. Like, the Vocal Adrenaline villain. Because she comes
and
back later.
She's in the rest of the season.
And so, like, they're setting her up that she's going to be a big character. And then they just replace her with Jesse St. James.
Wow,
so, like,
big spoiler,
still,
Ian, God.
Who is that? I don't know. But, like, that poor actor was like, I got this good job, and I'm going to become, like, a bigger character. And then they're like, no, actually, we're just going to add a whole new character. You'll still be there. You just kind of stand around, though.
She does have one of my favorite lines in the entire show, which I will point out when we get to that episode. Anyways, so the crowd, after watching Vocal Adrenaline, leaps to their feet. Like, this is what show choir is supposed to look like. It's really cool. I liked this part in the episode, like, introducing us to, like, what show choir is supposed to look like, you know? I don't know a lot about show choir, so I could be, like, pulling that out of my butt.
If show choir looks like that, then I was in the wrong show choir.
I I've seen, tell you I remember that much. Friend of the podcast Tanner Meekum did show choir in high school, and he used to show me videos of him doing show choir, and it like looks a lot like that. Obviously, that is the most, the most elevated top tier version of show choir that it could be. The New Direction kids are mortified. They're like, we do not look like that, even a little bit. So, cut to Terry seeing Will in their apartment. Terry tells Will that she's pregnant, and then Will has to quit his job.
And so Will puts on his dad pants.
Yeah,
dad pants. And he goes back to McKinley High School, and he says, what's up? I am no longer going to teach here. I'm going to become an accountant. I'm going to find someone else. And then all the kids are like, no, Mr. Schuster, you can't. We're going to miss you. And then Finn's like, cool, can I quit? And then Will leaves.
But not before singing,
I'm leaving. I literally wrote in my notes, I wrote, Will has a song, Where Have I Been?
I know, I didn't remember that at all. I watched
this episode. To be fair, it has been like 6 years since I've ever seen it. But 6 years ago, I had watched this episode like six times. And I had zero recollection that that song happened.
Yeah.
Also, during that song, we cut to Emma Pillsbury. She's looking at a book, and it's the yearbook. And it says Teacher of the Year. Shows a picture of Will Schuster. She draws a heart. Little on the nose.
I also just have to say... That is such bullshit. He is not Teacher of the Year, even a little bit.
He really cares about his students.
Yeah.
But it was like, we understood that she had feelings from him from all of the subtext already in the episode. You having her draw a heart around his face is laying it on a little bit thick.
In the middle of the cafeteria not even in her office. This woman is like
35 years old.
Yeah.
Like, you telling me she's drawing hearts around people's faces still?
She is very innocent. We will come to learn in future episodes. She is
a Disney princess. I did write, is Jaima May is a Disney princess.
Jaima May.
Because she acts like one.
Friend of the podcast, Jaima May.
Jaima May, the invitation's still out there.
Straight up. Here it is again. I second it. All right. Next.
Next.
We have... Go ahead.
Finn quit the Glee Club. Rachel's like, why did you quit the Glee Club? And then Quinn comes up and she's like, why are you talking to Rachel? Rachel realizes why Finn quit in that moment. And she's like, we're science partners. It's nothing. And she leaves. Santana is also present.
Santana is there. And then we get this moment of Finn grappling with who people think he is versus who he actually is. And then just you see that in his brain that like, this whole episode with him is he's just like, man, I really have a tough time being who people want me to be. You know, Finn, what a muffin. I want to kiss him right on his forehead. Not to make a High School Musical joke, but he is so Troy Bolton, you know? Well, should I go for it? Which came after? Which came before?
This
came after. Yeah, this came after for sure.
So then Puck shows up and he has Artie Abrams in the porta potty. He's about to tip it over. Horrifying. So disgusting.
Yeah. He like literally gives this to Finn as a gift. He's like, hey, Finn, we got you this present. He gives him a boy in a wheelchair and a porta potty. What a monster. What a monster.
Finn says, no, I have a heart and I'm gonna save him. I don't like this scene. I think this scene is a little too schmaltzy, and it's not tongue-in-cheek schmaltzy. It is straight up just schmaltz.
Yeah,
he lets Artie out, and he's like, I don't care if you think I'm a loser, because everyone in this town is a loser.
Everyone's a loser.
And I'm not afraid of being called a loser, but I am afraid of turning my back on being happy. And I was like, boo! Yeah. I agree with the sentiment, but boo!
Definitely. You know, it's
major after-school special.
Definitely. Finn is really made out to be, like, the everyman here and, like, the hero. I don't know.
But, like, who friggin' talks like that in high school? That's not my thing. I'm like, I agree with that plot point.
Sure.
But no one in high school makes that cheesy of a speech just off the top of their head.
But
no thank you.
One thing I know about Glee is it's full of cheesy speeches, and this is not the last one that we will encounter.
Yeah, that's why I don't like it.
All right. Okay. So
it's a hint.
Saves Artie. He saves Artie and then sees the man that used to paint
Emerald Dreams.
That used to paint his lawn listening to Don't Stop Believin'. And he is inspired. He is inspired.
He knows how to save the Glee Club.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up to rehearsal. The Glee Club is fighting. Rachel yells at everyone. Kurt says, excuse me, when did you become queen? Because I didn't vote for you. I don't know if Kurt realizes you don't vote for a queen. That's the whole point of her being queen. But we'll move past it. I think it's supposed to
be funny. Honestly, I love Kurt. Did you see what he was wearing? He was wearing like a half sweater, but like not the top half. It was the bottom half. Yeah, it was
like a gray button-up shirt and then like a blue wool sweater on the bottom.
It was so funny. God, I love Kurt. I can't wait to hear from him more. I did not realize how little of a part he played in the pilot.
Because straight up, it was written for Rajesh. And then they just gave all his lines to Chris Colfer, cut out any of the lines that were about him being Indian or straight. And so he had less lines than the original character had, and they were like, and moving on.
And we'll talk more about Kurt in the coming episodes. We will talk
a lot about Kurt.
We've got lots to say about Kurt, especially because Kurt becomes really the voice of the playwright in this show.
A vessel for Ryan Murphy. But
Ryan Murphy, you will pay for your crimes.
All right. So Kurt is, I mean, not Kurt. Finn is like, what's up, you guys? We all have something to contribute. Like, Rachel, you're such a good leader. You're so talented. Artie, you can play guitar and, like, you can get the jazz band in. Kurt, we're going to need some choreography, right? Is that what Kurt does?
I don't think Kurt does anything. Rachel does choreography.
Oh, well, Kurt's there as well. And then he's like, Mercedes, you're going to do costumes. We need them to look really cool. And she's like, don't you see what I'm wearing? And then, foreshadowing, he says, Tina, what are you good at? She stutters. He says, we'll figure something out. A question the writers themselves will be asking for years, which is a shame.
And I don't think because Jenna
Ushkowitz is very talented.
She's so talented. She's got a beautiful voice.
She's incredible. And the writers just like couldn't figure out what to do with her ever.
Yeah, and also so like that's the just goth a lovely kid with moment a stutter? Of
foreshadowing.
Oh God. Like what a and I'm gonna say this. Throughout this whole first season, like the archetypes of the characters are all so strong, especially like Tina. Like she's a goth kid with a stutter who like has very strict parents. Like that's stuff you can work on. I just think they put their eggs in the wrong baskets. I'm going to say that.
So meanwhile, Emma asked Will to see her in the career center because he was going to become an accountant and she didn't think it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
She shows him a video of him singing Shake a Groove Thing, touches his soul. And then he says that he needs to be a good dad by supporting his family or something. And she's like, but what do you want to teach them? Like the value of money or the value of living a life you're passionate about? And then he's like, you're right. And so he starts leaving and he hears the dulcet tones of the New Directions singing Journey's seminal classic, Don't Stop Believin'.
Honestly, it's a cultural reset. It is a cultural reset.
I wanted so bad to not like it.
No, it's amazing. I got
full body chills.
Literally.
It was shameful.
And it also, this version of Don't Stop Believin' didn't just like affect the TV show. This version became like a household thing. Like everyone knows this version. My choir teacher
tried to have us sing this version at a concert once. Exactly.
Like it became... Like, once this hit the world, cultural reset. Oh, my God. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Some of my favorite moments from this. So, obviously, Rachel and Finn are taking the leads. We're going to see this over and over again. They're so good. They're super cute. They sound really great together. One of my favorite moments is Finn plays the drums for just a half a verse. Sits down, plays the drums, no, stands back up.
Hey, kid, move over. Anyways, you can come back.
It's just like we have to let the audience know that Finn has lots of talents.
So I have some notes about this performance. One, I did get full body chills, so everyone get off my back. It starts out and it's like a close-up of all of them singing facing one direction. First of all, what the heck is Kurt mouthing? I cannot match any audio to his lips. I think he might be mouthing the tenor line.
It is. But
it's so quiet. that it looks like he's just moving his lips to nothing. The other thing is, like, the most prominent vocal part in the beginning is the bass part, the duh. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Mm-hmm. No one is singing
it. No bass. And it's not Artie. Artie's not singing.
No, because when it shows Artie on the guitar, his mouth is closed.
It's closed.
That bass part is God himself. No one is singing it.
Because it's not
He thin. Wanted Will to come back to the New Directions. He parted the heavens. He's stuck in his own little
It's Ryan Murphy as God.
It is Ryan Murphy singing the bass line off camera.
That's something that also, I don't love is this. It's so thick. Like, it's obviously this choir was like made for millions
like
of people.
Four people.
It's four people. It is Seriously. Tina, Mercedes, and Kurt. That is
and
it.
And it is like beyond processed too.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways, also the fact that Finn was like, oh, man, Mercedes, if this is going to work, we're going to need some cool costumes. And she was like, don't even worry.
They're
I'm
in
a fashion
Target
designer.
Uniforms.
Yeah, no, seriously. She's like, have you heard of Target? They're wearing Literally. Red t-shirts. Like, what the? Why even have that line in there if that's what they're going to wear? Oh,
I don't
my
know.
Gosh.
Especially because it doesn't bother me that they're wearing red shirts. Like, this is something that's going
to
happen in
Glee
a lot.
They had to have a line
exactly.
about how Mercedes was going to make them cool costumes, and the costumes are like she went to Dollar Tree and bought shirts.
Definitely.
Which, to be fair, is what would have actually happened.
Definitely.
But
especially
still.
Because they have, like, what, a $60 budget for the month?
Mm-hmm. I also love that the choreography for Finn is he reaches his hand out. He points his hand in different directions.
Frankentine.
There is literally a point where he reaches his hand to Rachel as if she's going to take it. She does not take the hand. She walks past
back.
The hand. She jumps in front of him face to face. He does it like, ba-da-ba-bow! And then she runs to the other side of him. And then he reaches out his other hand
his
towards
other
her.
Hand.
It is
oh,
literally just
gosh.
Like, and reach the hand, reach the hand, reach the hand, reach the hand. Oh,
I
goodness.
Love that. I love how terrible of a dancer Finn is and just how they milk it. They're going to milk it. No spoilers, but they milk it.
And then the outro is incredible that it's a panning shot of the auditorium and it's mm-hmm. all the characters. The villain shot of Sue and the Cheerios.
The Cheerios, yes.
The
and
best.
Then Puck in the other corner. Mm-hmm. We haven't really talked about Puck this episode because he's not in it too much, only as, you know, a terror. And he farts on Will, on Schuster, when...
Oh my gosh. Literally watching that scene, I was like, I have no desire to go back to being that age.
Literally. Oh my God. I hated being a teenager. And, you know, that's another thing that makes me feel like Rachel is just, I'm out of place, you know? I'm a big fish in a small pond.
You're too smart. You're too talented. Yeah. You're too smart. No one understood you.
Yeah, and everyone just, like, thinks farts are funny. And, you know, I just don't think farts are funny.
So then Will decides to stay as Glee captain, director,
Glee captain.
Whatever.
Whoa,
the captain of Glee Club.
That was a weird switcheroony on the sports
thing. Of the SS Glee Club. And he tells Finn that he thinks he can make him hit a high B. And then he tells Rachel to hit the ones and the fives. What is that?
Well, I don't know. We're both music people, and I did not understand what
yeah,
that meant.
Yeah, and at first I was like, is that a spot on stage?
Yeah, or is that
and
like
a... And then I Googled it, and someone was like, it's a music theory thing. But then someone else was like, no, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I don't know what that means, but she better hit them if she wants Glee Club to be a success.
Yeah, straight up. And Will also says to them, it would kill me to see you win nationals without me. Aww, cutie.
1 point towards being a good teacher.
Yeah.
But he still has got 2 points against him.
Honestly, I'm going to take away 10 because he watched a student naked for like several minutes.
He's going to need to work really hard to come back from
that.
Yeah,
he's in the neg over here.
Anyways, that's a season wrap on episode one pilot of Glee.
Yeah, wow.
Well, what was the best moment of this episode for you?
The best moment for me, maybe, other than all of it, this episode really is just like peak television. It is so good. There is not a lot of moments that I don't love. The moment that's just sticking out to me, I love the bits with Rachel. I love seeing her as a little girl. like tap dancing. I thought that was really sweet. And I also loved when we were in Sheets and Things and Terry says to her coworker Howard, like, you can't fold a fitted sheet and work. You can't not be able to fold a fitted sheet and work at Sheets and Things. And then he goes, I can't do it. I'm dyslexic. Wow. Howard.
Oh, my gosh. What was your worst moment of this
worst
episode?
Moment? How about you say your best moment, and okay. Then I'll think about my worst moment.
My best moment of Glee Episode 1, the pilot episode. As you mentioned, this episode is pretty stacked. It is pretty good the whole time. I will say my favorite moment is the Rachel opening monologue through On My Own sequence. Great introduction to the character.
Crying.
Perfect. Love her so much. Okay, what was your worst moment?
I'm thinking my worst moment was when Rachel rats, what's his face?
Mr. Ryerson?
Yeah. When she goes to Principal Figgins and is like, and he was touching him in really inappropriately. Like, I don't know. That scene in 2020 is probably the worst part to watch.
It crosses a line where I'm like, I understand why you thought this concept was funny, but maybe don't put it in the script.
Because honestly, like watching it this last time, like, it felt like Rachel was lying. Like, it felt like she was lying about it. Like, she obviously doesn't feel that way. And she's, like, putting on a show. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, she's, like, making a story up. When, like, she's not making a story up, that's genuinely what happened. Like this teacher genuinely touched a student inappropriately.
I think it is supposed to be left in the gray area where we don't know. Because we saw him put his hand on the kid's chest. And then it cut to Rachel. So we are left to try and guess if it went further or if she was lying.
Yeah.
Either way, a great story point to have in the episode.
As an adult in 2020, like watching that, I'm like, oh, that makes me feel bad.
Well, my bad moment isn't so ethically charged. I just think that Finn's speech at the porta potty sucks. I already mentioned it.
Yeah, you did.
I think it is the one moment of this episode where it leaves like just having heart and becomes actually cheesy. The rest of the moments are like played straight enough that I do genuinely feel for the characters, but then they back off just before they like enter corny territory.
I do
that
think
episode,
that
moment is full corn.
But straight up, that's the theme of this show, is that like everyone is a loser. Loser like me, you know?
Yeah, loser like me, but they didn't need to say it so explicitly and for such a long time.
You're right. It was a long speech.
Too long. Anyways, there's the pilot episode of Glee, everyone.
Yeah.
What a time.
I can't wait to name this podcast. We're still, as we record this, we don't have a name yet.
You may be tricked by the fact that our intro did have a name, but that was recorded after this. We don't know what this thing is named. So
that was with Movie Magic Ladies.
Tune in next time on insert title here. And see you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.